It's Jessica from the Extraordinary Moms Podcast. This is not April Fool's joke. It is Friday, April 1st. It is a Friday episode. You asked for it, and here it is. I really have missed chatting with you guys, and so I think I'm going to bring back Friday episodes. And sometimes it was getting a little hard for me to think of five favorite things every single week that are like new and unique and somewhat interesting to anybody but me. So you know what? It's my show and I'm going to do whatever I want. I'm going to bring back these Friday episodes and I'm basically going to just chat with you about something that I would chat with a girlfriend about. And hopefully you find some entertainment and value out of what I'm discussing. Sometimes the things might be more lighthearted. Sometimes it might be super deep, these things that I'm considering in life. Might be some favorite things, might be a favorite article, a new recipe, you know. But ultimately, I just want to chat with you. And because the Tuesday episodes are so focused on the mom that I'm interviewing, and that's the way I want it to be, I also want you to be able to get to know me a little bit better. I am so passionate about motherhood. And after three kids, I feel like I am in a really good place with motherhood. I've really evolved as a mom. I remember my first baby, Parker, 6 years ago. He just turned six in February. I wanted that baby so much. And I was so excited to have him there and in my arms. And he never stopped crying. You guys, I kid you not. We would have to, between me and my husband, we would take turns passing him off to each other. You know how some babies you stand and bounce? And you're just kind of gingerly bouncing them or swaying from side to side. No. Parker would continue to cry unless we were doing a couple things. First thing he liked, deep knee bends. And my friends, Audrey and Allison, can attest to this because they came out to visit me when he was like 2 weeks old when we were living in Michigan. And they would take turns if we'd go out to eat doing deep knee bends with Parker. They'd stand next to the table and they would have him in their arms and they would do these squats because he needed like vigorous movement. So we alternated between deep knee bends and literally running up and down the hallway of our very small apartment. You couldn't just walk around with him to keep him content. You needed to literally run up and down the hallway. Again, vigorous movement. It was so hard. It was so hard. But I will say that singing really helped, and both my husband and I both sing and love to sing. And so my husband would have out the hymn book and be singing him hymns, and I would go through every Bette Midler song I knew, patriotic. I mean, we had a different genre every night. I think we got through the whole Les Miserables score. He did like that. But I mean, as soon as you would get him calm from vigorous movement or singing, even if I would keep up the same kind of bouncing movement and I would try and sit down while still bouncing my arms up and down, you guys, I'm literally doing the movement right now. I wish you could see me. This should be a YouTube video right now. But so we're bouncing. And I would slowly try and get down to sit, to give myself a little break while still not giving my arms a break. Oh, no. I had to be engaged. And I would bounce. He'd start crying again. He knew I was trying to like take the easy road, and heaven forbid I sit down with this child. It was so hard, and I wanted him so bad, and I was so happy to be his mom, and there were so many wonderful, joyous moments, and I have so many cute little pictures because he was my only child at that time, and so I had endless amounts of time to get him dressed in cute outfits and take pictures of him and just sing to him, and it was wonderful. It was so great, but it was also so, so very hard. And then comes the second baby. Austin was born 2 years and 3 weeks after Parker turned two. And he was an angel baby. He was so easy. He just did whatever I kind of needed him to do. He would kind of sleep when I needed him to sleep during the day. And none of my kids were good night sleepers. So don't think I got off scot-free. But I mean, Parker was still challenging, but then Austin was so much easier. And if you have kids really close together, you'll understand. It's so hard logistically when you have kids close in age, you know, two car seats, they can't buckle themselves, two still in diapers, you know, cutting up food really small. I mean, it's challenging, but oh man, once Austin hit 18 months old, it was such a joy because they started playing together and all my prayers were answered that they got along pretty well. I mean, they argue and they have their tiffs like normal siblings, but overall, they love each other so much and enjoy each other's company so much. Once they started playing together, they didn't hardly need me anymore. I mean, I was there to like supervise and make sure everyone was safe and everything, but I mean, the actual interaction, it was such a pleasure watching them get along and oh, it was so fun. It was so awesome. And so we had our new normal and everything, and it's kind of like there's always that question in your mind of do we dare rock the boat and bring in another child into this? Because you don't know what kind of baby you're gonna get, and you hope it's healthy and everything like that. But beyond that, just the temperament. And we had a good thing going, and life was pretty easy, loosely speaking. And but we knew we wanted another child, and so we had Jackson, and Jackson has been just the best. You guys, once you hit baby number three, now some people don't want three kids. Some people only want one. Some people want 10, to each his own. But with each successive baby, the enjoyment factor goes up, in my opinion. And if you think you have one child and you're thinking, oh my gosh, this is so hard, I don't know if I can handle another one. Let me tell you that having a second child is the best gift you can give yourself and give each other, each of the children, because they have each other to play with and entertain each other. And so you might think it's hard with one, but it's almost harder because you are their everything and they rely on you for entertainment all the time. And you're kind of giving them a, someone to step into your place to entertain them when you bring in a second sibling. Now, I recognize that some people can't have multiple children, and this is a sensitive topic. So I don't want to be insensitive. Having any amount of children is wonderful and special, and I believe that each family is designed just perfectly, and the children that come to you are the ones that are meant for you in your family. So I don't want to be insensitive or anything, but I don't want the fear of feeling overwhelmed with one child to deter you from having a second child. That's all I'm saying. So anyways, back to my third child experience. With the first and second, you have like really high expectations. You think you still want to like keep up the same level of like tidiness and accumulation of stuff. And I mean, I remember with my first, I had one box of toys that fit on one shelf in our bookshelf in our living room. And we would play with the toys in a manageable way, and then we would load up that one box of toys, push it onto the bookshelf at the end of the day, and the living room is cleaned. No. That's not reality for the long term. My house is a disaster, you guys. And the thing is, I've really had to come to terms with this because I was finding myself getting super frustrated. And I still do get frustrated at times, but I've gotten better. And I've had to really push myself to get there because I could drive myself bananas trying to like clean up all day or nagging my kids to clean up all day. But ultimately, like, A, it doesn't matter. Having toys and stuff everywhere, it really doesn't matter. You want your home to be clean enough that it's like sanitary and, livable and whatnot. But the toys and stuff, if there's toys available, and they are imagining and being creative and engaging with one another, and they're not on screens all day, like that's a win for you. So you'd way rather have toys everywhere than your kids stuck on technology and in front of a screen all day. So I'm all for that. But it's hard to adjust your expectations as you go from not having any children depending upon you to, gosh, these little beings depend on you 24/7, and your time is truly not your own anymore. And while I really am a proponent of taking care of yourself and pursuing your own passions as well, as I think you've heard on other podcast episodes, it is so It's unavoidable that your kids are going to depend upon you and that their schedules and their needs are going to take precedence most of the time. And that's a real gift. I mean, we've been given stewardship over these special little souls, and what a blessing that is. I'm so humbled by that responsibility. But at the same time, you just have to be real that, okay, so what are dinners going to look like now that I have three kids? What are, what's the state of the tight and tidiness of the house going to look like? You have to adjust those things. What are our routines going to look like? Are we going to be able to go out in the afternoons, or does nap time take precedence? Things like that. And you just adapt. And what I found with this third baby, Jackson, is that when you look at a baby and you just marvel over their little fingers and little toes, and as they reach these little new milestones, whether it's like sitting up on their own or grabbing a toy, or when they start, moving their mouth trying to mimic your words like a little guppy, oh, it's just the most precious thing. And if you are too caught up in the to-do list and high expectations of what you think needs to get done during the day, you're gonna miss out on that little guppy mouth, and you're gonna miss out on the cooing, and you're going to stress yourself out unnecessarily. And this time with your kids is so precious. And whether you're able to stay at home as a stay-at-home mom or you work outside the home, any time that you have with your children is so incredibly precious. I had an article come out on Power of Moms today. Yay! I love the website Power of Moms. Have you been to that website? It is so fabulous. They have articles. I've talked about it before, but in case you're new, they have articles, they have podcasts, they have e-courses, they have e-books, they have all types of resources for moms. And it's two people that run it, April and Saren, but it's a community of moms that put together the content. And so anybody can submit articles to Power of Moms, and then they choose what they want to publish on the website. And as I was trying to kind of get my groove back and accomplish something for myself, one of the goals that I had set out for myself was to get published on Power of Moms. And I submitted a few articles that I thought were great and insightful and wonderful, and they got rejected. So I thought, okay, I'm just going to keep trying. And I love writing. I find it so cathartic, and it helps me to be more self-aware when I can write things out. And maybe you feel that same way. And anyways, a couple weeks ago, was it March 1st, or I think it was beginning of March, I had my first article published on Power of Moms, and I was so honored. And it's called Bringing Home Baby. And if you just go to powerofmoms.com, you can look up Bringing Home Baby, and you can find my article there. And it talks about how we transitioned and help the kids, the older kids, transition as we brought home our new baby, our third baby. And because it's not easy bringing a new child into the mix and having the older kids adjust, and they're vying for attention. And so I just give a couple tips that have worked for us when I helped work that out with my oldest son, Parker, and he helped give me some ideas on what does he need in order to feel secure and loved, and that I'm paying enough attention to him. Because needless to say, whenever I go to sit down to feed Jack, he always needs my attention. As soon as I sit down, one of the kids always needs my attention. Same with being on the phone. Why is that, you know? But it's because as soon as you're not giving them the attention that they maybe want at that exact moment, they're gonna start acting up. So I just give some tips about that. So go check out that article. Oh, what was I saying? Sometimes I just get talking. This is what I would do with my girlfriends, though. I would just start like rambling. So I don't know if there's any value in this whatsoever. But if you're still listening, hello out there. So Power of Moms. And so I got published, and I was so excited. And today, or this week, I actually had another article published. It's called Embracing the Seasons, or Embracing Each Season. And it was published on Monday. And it talks about how, there's good things and bad things in every single season. And when you are in the throes of any given season, sometimes the hard stuff kind of takes the forefront in your mind, and becomes overly stressful or burdensome or creates so much worry, and you just kind of want this season to be over. But I really challenge the readers in the article and myself. It was really something that I was working through, and that's why I wrote it. But to challenge the readers to embrace each season, because each season is beautiful in some ways and really challenging in other ways. And it's okay to be honest about the ways that that season is not so enjoyable, but to also give plenty of weight to the beautiful things that are happening. So I encourage you to check out that article and any of the other articles on Power of Moms. It is such a great resource. And that's how I first learned about podcasts to begin with. They have a fabulous podcast called Power of Moms Radio. Love, love, love that resource. They have tons of great content on there, excellent guests, and just really encouraging for moms. And that is what we need more of. So, on these Friday episodes, I'm going to cover a range of topics, what I'm thinking, what I'm loving, anything like that. But also, I'll give you a little preview as to the guest that's coming up on the following Tuesday's interview. Would you like that? So, this week I have Lisa McLeod, and Lisa posts the most beautiful food pictures on Instagram. You are going to love Lisa. And she talks about how food and health and wellness has really impacted her motherhood. And she is a proponent and a veteran of the Whole30 program. And whether or not you are interested in doing a Whole30 type diet or are looking to even radically change your eating, it's a really interesting look at how food and the way she views food and the way she views health for her whole family has really impacted the intention she puts behind motherhood. And I think that's so important to make that connection. Oftentimes, when we are proactively trying to improve one area of our life, a byproduct is that other areas of our lives are benefited positively as well. For example, I mean, I know a lot of people who feel like when their workspace around them is clean and tidy and organized, they feel in their mind more tidy and clean and organized, and like they can process through things much better. And so sometimes that external organization can really impact your internal workings and the way that your mind is able to work through things. If you're working out, oftentimes you try to improve your eating as well. And when you are exercising and eating well, your whole outlook on life can change, your energy can change, your patience and positivity can change. I mean, I love that this can all be connected because it can be overwhelming trying to improve yourself in so many different areas. But when you realize if you're focusing on one thing and improving one thing, you can get a lot more bang for your buck than just making improvements in that one area of your life. And so when you see that, you're more likely to invest in that. And that's what Lisa found, that by investing more time in figuring out what food was going to make her body feel the best and feel the healthiest and make her feel better about herself, in turn, her whole life improved. And so it's a really inspiring, positive episode, not just about the food itself, but what that food represented in her life and how that really impacted her whole family. So, I know you're going to love my interview with Lisa that comes out on Tuesday. And yeah, so this has been fun chatting with you. Thanks for indulging me and just kind of rambling. But I hope you'll go over to powerofmoms.com, check out my two articles and all the other articles that are there. Such fabulous stuff. It's so neat that there's so many ways that we can get positive motherhood messages these days, from Instagram to Facebook to websites to podcasts. Da-da-da-da. Share the Extraordinary Moms podcast. Thank you so much if you are spreading the word of being a champion for motherhood. There are so many days that are hard, but they are bolstered by the joy that can be found in the smallest moments with your children. And when we can share those with one another, it just gives everyone a boost. So, if you haven't already done so, you can follow me on Instagram, Jessica Dahlquist3. You can find out more about past episodes and past guests on extraordinarymomspodcast.com. And just thanks for listening. I love being back with you this Friday. Kind of a funny thing for April Fool's. One of my really good friends, Stephanie Marston, she was on my book club episode a little while back, and I'm having her on again in 3 weeks for another book club episode. She's literally like the sweetest person, kindest, gentlest, sweetest. She loves April Fools and she loves pranking her kids. And I just can't get enough of it. I think it's so funny. And I went to her house shortly after April Fools and there were still like fake bugs in her bathroom. And it just, scared the living daylights out of me. But it's so funny. So, anyways, I hope you have a fabulous April Fools Day. I'm not so much the prankster, so my kids don't even know it's a holiday, technically. But don't tell them. But it's going to turn into like a leprechaun thing. When did St. Patrick's Day become such a big deal? I don't even get it. I dyed the toilet water green, but they were like searching for leprechaun evidence all day long. And I was sad to admit that I think he might have skipped our house. I don't know. Pinterest. Anyways, I hope you have a fabulous day, and I will see you next Tuesday on another episode of the Extraordinary Moms Podcast. Have a good one.